1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to, again, the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going excellent, but I have a question for you.
Oh, you have a question for me, do you?
When you say welcome back, what if this is the first time someone is listening?
That is very true. I'd like to... That is true, but...
We want to welcome people.
Welcome to the Carolyn and Joe Show. And for you listeners and visitors who are listening to us again, hopefully you came back from last week's amazing episode. Welcome back. I like actually that theory that, like, because, like, Stan Lee had that theory. For every book that he made, or at least this is what I heard, for every book that you made, he always tries to present it as possibly someone's first comic book or first book that they're picking up.
Yeah, you can't always assume that everyone knows what you know.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it's also it's a pretty interesting thing to think about, too, because, like, whenever we're, like, writing anything or wherever whenever I'm writing anything at all, I always feel like I got to do that introduction. I got to make sure, that I got to introduce the right things. But also, it also makes me feel like this is someone's first book that they're reading of ours. This is anyone's new thing that they're enjoying of mine. It has to be the best at that very moment.
It's a really tight type walk.
A tight walk. Yeah, like when you walk around that line.
Because you have to also assume that no one knows what you know, like I said. But then at the same time, you can't treat people that have been coming back time and time again like they're dumb.
Yeah, you can't just ignore the fact that you have returning people. So welcome back.
So,
you know what I mean?
So welcome back to the tightrope that is the Carol and Joe Show.
Yes. That's exactly what we are, because we sort of dance on that, exactly. Hey, do we have any shows coming up?
Yes, we do. This coming weekend, this coming Sunday.
This Sunday.
We are going to
be
appearing.
What's the date of that?
August 14th, 2011. We're going to be appearing at Philadelphia Alternative Comic Con.
Cool.
And
both of us, me and you, right?
Yes.
Home of Rocky, home of ECW, home of the Roots.
Home of the cheesesteak.
Yes, the cheesesteak.
So did you have a pick? Like, last time we went there, we did have a cheesesteak battle royale, and we went to Pat's and Gino's.
I'm trying to remember which is which now.
Now, see, let's go back, because I did write a blog about this that you could see at curls-studio.com and go to the production blog.
Our sponsor,
and then
too. Our sponsor.
Search for Philly Alternative Comic-Con blog recap from last year, and I did write about our challenge.
Yeah.
And so basically, you know, Philly is home of the cheesesteak, and Joe and I were like, we need to have authentic cheesesteak. And so we heard that there's this certain corner where all the cheesesteak revolves around, and on one
like
side...
Like cheesesteak corner, basically, right?
Yeah, like on one side there is Pat's, and then on the other side there's Gino's. And... it's pretty amazing, because I'd say the lines weren't too long, but, like, after we finished eating, we looked around the lines, and they're pretty, you know, it got heavy. It's kind of like the equivalent of going to Pink's in L.A., Pink's Hot Dogs in L.A. So it's the place to be, and everyone wants to have cheesesteak, so, you know, we figured, hey, we should try it from both places and have a taste test.
Yeah.
So Pat's is less glamorous, and they have, like, this whole orange.
It's orange or yellow, right?
No.
Any one of those crossing guard colors.
It's red.
It's red?
Red and white. I'm just naming colors.
Orange and black.
No. They have this whole red and white vibe going on, and they're pretty authentic, I would say. And they even have this stamp of approval type thing from the city, like a city marker that says, this is where cheesesteaks was first made.
Yeah, the this is the home. This is the beginning.
Like, it's like the christening of cheesesteaks, and they have this little mantle that they can say, hey, this is where it started.
Yeah.
So then, from the story I've heard, is that a few years later, from across the street, Geno's started up. And they wanted to go in direct competition with Pat's. And so Geno's has, like, this elaborate display that looks more like Las Vegas with shining lights, and it's cool to go there at night.
Yeah.
Everything's glittering and sparkling, and all these signs are, like, in your face about cheesesteaks.
It's pretty cool layout because it's, like, actually at, like, a crossroads of the streets.
Yeah.
So it's, like, literally, like...
direct competition.
Yeah, face-to-face competition. Also, like, one side is on one corner and the other side's one corner, so you're directly looking at each other.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
So it's like,
it's like a Western when, like, the guys are in the shooter-up positions.
Yeah.
And they, like, turn towards each other, and they're like, oh, gotta shoot.
Or also, like, if you're in Vegas and you have, like, two casinos across from each other that have, like, the same gimmick, pretty much it's like, oh, yeah, this are, we're...
Are there two casinos in Vegas that have the same gimmick across from each other?
I don't know if there is. But, like, that's how it feels like, because they both have their character, you know what I mean? But they're both, like, casinos. They both have the tables, so they're trying to...
For Geno's, if Geno's really was a casino, it would probably be better. Because they have all those lights and stuff, and it's all crazy.
That's really what it's all about.
Pat's doesn't have any lighting, and it's pretty much just a basic setup. Here's our cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
So, you know, from visual appeal, I will say that Geno's is probably more inspiring, because I kind of like their signs, and it's all flashy and stuff. But if you want to get down to, like, being really, like... authentic with your cheesesteak, then, like, Pat's is probably the best original, because they did invent the cheesesteak, supposedly. So, but we tried a different cheesesteak from each side, and our basic conclusion was that they were pretty much tied. I mean, I don't think any of them necessarily tasted better than the other. We did order different types of the, like, one was Cheese Whiz and another one was, like, I think provolone or something.
Yeah, like, you know, like, not a canned cheese.
Yeah, but we did want to try the authentic Cheese Whiz version, just so.
Is that what that is?
That
is that the authentic one? The actual Cheese Whiz? Is that the authentic cheese stick?
I think that, like...
Because that actually seems weird to me for some reason.
I don't know
the Cheese
if that
Whiz.
Is, like... I guess it's more of, like, personal taste, really, what you want on it, your toppings. But, like, you know, the cheesesteak one is, like, the Cheese Whiz one, I feel like, is the down and dirty one.
Yeah.
So, basically, the conclusion was that it was tied, but then I personally said Pat's because I wanted to go with the more authentic one that had the seal of approval from the city that was, like, this is a historic landmark.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how you felt.
Was that the Cheese Whiz one?
I can't remember
to remember which one, because they both come in a different type of packaging. It's been almost a year.
I did choose
a winner. Now I forget what the winner was. I guess we're going to have to do it again.
But Geno's was thinner. Do you remember it had a thinner sandwich, but longer, I believe.
That might have been the big winner for me. I was like, you know, I like that sort of, like, quality.
So you like the taste. So you actually did the
taste. I like
taste
the taste.
Test.
I mean, yeah, we did do the taste test. We did the half and half. We switched them around, I think. You know what I mean? There was one. I might have liked the provolone one. It's hard to decide.
I don't know which...
Because Cheese Whiz itself has, like, a little sweetness to it, you know what I mean?
But also at the same time, you can't, like, even though we ordered different things from each place, I feel like you can't, even though Cheese Whiz is kind of cheap and, you know, in its own way gross.
Yeah.
Like, you can't knock it, though, because that's what we ordered, like, on purpose, you know? Like, just to say that we had it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. In all end of days, they probably, like, are tied, but I just wanted to give Pat's credit because they did originate the cheesesteak. So, yeah, we'll be in Philly.
Yeah, so we're going to be at Sunday. What's the show that we're going to be at?
It's the Philadelphia Alternative Comic-Con.
That's right. What do we?
You can find out more information at curls-studio.com.
Curls-studio.com.
And the following week, we will be at Baltimore Comic-Con.
Is that really the next week after that?
Yeah, August 20th and 21st.
All right, we got a lot of
2011.
We got some rock and rolling to do.
So, you know, Philly, Baltimore, we're all over the place.
So, this
Baltimore,
week,
we discussed last week that Baltimore is known for its crabs and crime. Crabs, crime, and comics.
That's always a fun ordeal. So, there's been something happening recently because, you know, the song that we opened up the show with was that the Weezer, if you want me, what is it? If you want me to, I forgot what it's called. If you want me, but you know, like, basically it's a performance. The song, the single itself, I think it was off of Ratitude from Weezer. The single itself didn't have Sarah Bareilles. Is that how you pronounce the last name?
Borealis.
Sarah Borealis.
Like, I only know that because they play her a lot on the mix stations and when I'm flipping through when I'm driving to work.
See, and that's a situation that I find actually very interesting, because just like in the past couple days, I've always liked that song. I thought that duet was like absolutely amazing. That's Weezer Rivers and Sarah Borealis.
Why is this in the news now? Isn't that like two albums ago? Is there a new one, Hurley?
Oh, Weezer?
Yeah.
Yeah, the new one's... But
I actually listened to Hurley today.
Hurley was good, you know? But the reason why I bring that up is, again, the reason what you said was you always hear Sarah Borealis on the radio, right?
Yeah.
And I brought
up... At least that one song she has.
At least that I'm gonna write you a love song. Yeah, like that song. You hear that song a lot. And I really enjoyed that duet. So, of course, I'm going to research. I was already into Weezer. Like, I like Weezer a whole lot. I play Weezer a whole lot when I do play music. But then again, I'm like, well, like, I was like, this performance, it first started with that performance on Jimmy Kimmel, you know, and I was like, wow, like, it didn't really click to me who this girl was, you know what I mean? But I was like, wow, this duet is absolutely amazing. Like you can see, like, the fun they had displayed in that. You can feel, you know, the performance that they're doing is, like, that chemistry and the way their vocals, like, lined up. I thought that was freaking amazing. And so, of course, I'm going, I should find out more about this Sarah Borealis, you know? And then I discover, oh, that's that girl I see on the iPhone or the iPad apps, or the girl playing like the piano. I was like, oh, that's that girl. I know exactly who she is. So then that just led me to, you know, of course, discover her music, looking her up on YouTube and stuff like that. And you know what? It may be like piano ballad, but it's not like that other girl. What's it called? The
10,000 Miles.
Yeah, it's not like that. Like, basically what happens is, what ended up happening was I started like seeing the covers that she did. Like I saw her doing like the Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, that song, and like all like, and Take on Me.
So
like,
did she get known for doing covers?
I don't really know, but I started to discover her covers that she's doing as opposed to her other songs. So of course I need to do like this full on research. So then just like, you know, that becomes like an appreciation. Like, oh, cool. She has a great voice. I can see
her. So what you're saying is that you're a fan of Sarah Borealis.
Yeah, I'm saying that but I'm saying what's happening is that I'm becoming a fan because of like, oh, like straight on talent. And take on one consideration is I don't listen to her song. I don't listen to the radio. So I don't even know how much she's playing. Like as far as I realize, she could just have that song and no one, you know, it could have gone, you know, could have gone up the air and disappeared. And then also,
that since you don't listen to terrestrial radio, that song is literally on rotation all the time. And it's been like that for probably a year and a half. It feels like I've been hearing that song for 2 years, which is actually like tremendous if you think about it. But then it's like play other of her songs, you know?
Yeah, like she has that song, like, I Do It For Love. Love that you see it all
heard
the time,
that
but like no, but,
no, I
but here's
heard that.
But here's the fact that I bring it up. This is why I bring it up. See, so I was at Best Buy with Cooney, just wandering around looking for Batman Brave and the Bold
with the Coonster.
Yeah, with the Coonster. I don't want to call him Coonster. a girl I totally dislike calls him Coonster, and I don't
really.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't want to. It was so annoying.
A
it's
joke.
One of those. It's just like I was like, oh, are you really calling him Coonster?
See, I didn't even
it's
know
like
a, about that.
Something like, hey, what's up, Coonster? Like trying to be like, hey, dude, what's up? And I just really got my nerve. But basically, so I was at Best Buy walking around, and I was like, you know, so I'm already... The one performance I liked of her was any one of those. She does covers really well.
And, covers and duets.
Yeah, and the duet was amazing. Like, that blew my mind. Like, I was like, wow, like, I want to do more duets like that. That's because there's not enough duets, I feel like, happening in this day and age of, like, alternative acts or stuff like that. It's a missing art piece.
It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it really is a missed opportunity. Except unless you're like on hip hop and you have like the female singer and the rapper, and I don't
count
that
as a duet. And everyone has to like say, why is in hip hop songs everyone has to say their name in the beginning?
Because people don't know.
Jay-Z.
Because they can't.
they have to like put their label on there.
Maybe because they can't base it on talent. They gotta like remind them, you know, like they can't be like, oh, check it out. And by the way, this is this. I like the mystery of like, hey,
Soulja Boy.
They're like, what the hell is that? That was no, but like exactly. It's not like Sarah Borealis was on that Weezer song, like, you know, after like boy at the end, they're like, yeah, Sarah Borealis, you know, Rubens Konomo. Like at least they didn't spit that out.
I feel
out.
Like everyone needs to just say who they are in the beginning and end of the song.
You know what I mean? You know, and that's one of the things I've been watching.
Ga-ga-la-la-la.
Yeah, so like not only that, but like also I've been just looking up duets or like guest spots, like stuff like that. I've been watching like No Doubt when they were on their tour, and they have like a certain song, and they whatever town they're on, they always have like a guest appearance by somebody like Hayley Williams from like Paramore, or I don't know, some people that I don't realize. And then I see, you know, I'm starting to see other people's covers. Like, I saw another cover from Katy Perry. She did like a Queen song.
Oh, really cool.
And I thought that was really cool because that's like, it was like really hopping. Now I forget what it was, but it was a really fun song. But back to Sarah Bareilles. So yeah, I'm over at Best Buy with the Coonster and Coon.
And you just called him that.
Yeah, that's what. but basically,
so Coonie, as you may remember, he was in a few of our previous podcasts. Usually around Christmas time, he comes every year for the Crazy Coonie Christmas, yeah. The KKK show. So continue with your story about. All right, Coonie.
So he did his thing where he walks away because I didn't want to fill him in on a story or something like that, and I'm like, fine, I'll go walk this way. And I was like, I'll take this opportunity to check out the CDs. And while I'm in the CDs, I'm like, I might as well see how the Sarah Bareilles CDs look like. And lo and behold, I didn't find any of them.
Probably all sold out because everyone wants to.
Is that really what it is?
I
couldn't even find that. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that much about her, but that song is really like on airplay a lot. I feel like a lot of dentists might, like 9 out of 10 dentists recommend it.
But like here's another thing. Like, so later on in the day, I go and talk to him, talk to Coonie about that, or I talk to him about like, oh yeah, so yeah, I've been checking out the Sarah Bareilles, and he's like, and I was like, what do you think of her? And he's like, oh, I'm so tired of her because like he was like, I really liked it when it first came out, and then like they play it like all the time, and then I told him like, then I'm like at a perfect position right now because I get to enjoy her music at my own speed. I don't listen to the radio. And I get to fully control my intake on her, so I don't really get to have that annoying stance, you know. And I feel that's almost like a joy in a sense because I don't have to.
So you didn't get deaf by radio.
I don't get deaf by radio.
And deaf meaning two meanings.
Yeah.
Deaf in the ears and deaf in the body.
Exactly. But also that brought me like it was a pretty interesting situation because it's like clearly, you know, I think that's what really happens to me like a whole lot. Like I'll get into things like, I guess later after they're not hot, because like I think I'm the same with movies. I tend to, if I don't get into it dead on when it first comes out, I'm gonna wait till the fire settles. And I feel like with Sarah Bareilles, the fire settles. And then of course I'm watching, so I'm like doing all this in-depth research, like looking at the Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, she comes from this. She used to play.
Tell
like
me about mic. Her.
I don't. She was playing like open mics and stuff like that. And of course I always have like a. You know, to work a mic, open mic, that's always an interesting situation. I remember playing open mics like back in college and like making new songs, and that's always like sort of like you sort of build that crowd. You sort of build a camaraderie with the people who are trying to perform too, like they're after you, and you always have the same people there. And like, you know, to me, whenever someone like builds up their, you know, their performance ability by doing those shows and stuff like that, I always have a high respect for. Because I feel like at the same time, it's not just like a manufactured, you know, you really sort of, you know, you just
so
got it out there.
She built her way up through the coffee shops.
That's what I believe.
Like Michelle Branch
style.
Well,
that's what I read. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
Nora Jones did that too, right?
Yeah. But here's the thing that I really like, that I really appreciated was also like the songs that I liked. They're not like highly, the versions that I liked on the YouTube, they weren't like highly produced. You know, a lot of them were just live. Her piano, like even like on the dock, like in the not in the water, but like on the bay or whatever. Sitting on the dock and stuff like that. And like, you
did
know,
she cover that song?
No, she did cover that song.
And was she literally sitting by the dock of the bay playing piano?
Maybe, but that was a good performance too. I was like blown away. You know, I mean, it's not many times.
So basically, you like the stripped down version.
That's really like a lot of times.
I feel like everything is so overproduced. Even like art nowadays too. It's like, I mean, well, I guess music is art, but like visual art too.
Yeah.
It's like everything has to be glossy and like perfectly shiny and like photoshopped or something.
Yeah.
And then like even with audio, it's like it's to the point where it's really sounding like plastic.
I mean, it was interesting for me to discover Sarah Bareilles through Weezer, and also looking at me, it's like who would think that? I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna go buy her albums or something like that.
That's what I was gonna get to. Like, I know they didn't have it at the Best Buy, but like, would it come down to that?
I don't know if it's.
Would you see her album at like another venue or Target or something?
I think I gotta go listen to more songs because I've only heard like the covers and a few of them, and it's no doubt they're pretty good. They're pretty fun. You know what I mean? I don't know her personally, but at the same time...
Why don't you know her?
Not yet, I guess. Not yet. But I don't know. I just like pure talent, you know, and that was always fun. And I guess the question for you about me is like, is this a weird situation of like, am I late? Because like, I know people are going to be like, oh, you're into her now, or is it okay to be late on it?
I don't think, and I don't blame her either. Like, obviously she's a very talented woman, but like... I don't know as much about her as you do from researching her on Wikipedia.
I mean, I just
get
the stats and stuff.
But
you know?
But like, I've heard that love song like a lot. And if anything, it's not her fault though. It's more of like these radio programmers or somebody in like A&R is like, oh, we need to like put Sierra Borealis on because she's like, you know, that's a fun song. It's not offending.
I feel like she's more than just a Vanessa Carlton is what I'm saying at this point.
Well, I mean, for me to say that, it might be a little bit too soon because Vanessa Carlton also had one song that was overplayed. Whereas like with Sierra Borealis, I wish that there was other songs by her that they were playing on the radio instead of just that one.
But the thing is, she does have like other songs.
I'm sure she does. I mean, she has a whole album full.
I mean, from like the other stuff, I thought they're all pretty solid.
But I'm just saying on the radio though, like whatever top 40, they are, from what I know, only playing that love song.
But here's the thing is, I thought like in my head, like the first thought when I didn't see any of her CDs like in the Best Buy, I was like, wow, did she like drop off and now she's just like working like virally like to get her word out? Because I was watching all of her YouTube tour videos. Like in Japan and all these Japanese people are like, I love you. And she also just went and helped out with Japan, like did the like
disaster
stuff. And also it was always what's even more interesting, and I thought this would be awesome for if this happens to the Curl Studio and all of our books, is that like, you know, when she jumped over to Japan and did tours over there, that there's a lot of just as many people to see her perform there, and they all like knew the songs, just having that sort of crossover, and
so
they're all like
global.
But like also just like seeing like, I guess, you know, like this connection with a foreign audience was always interesting. And I thought like, man, that'd be crazy if like you see like Curl's characters over there, you know, and they're like holding pictures and like, I love it, you know what I mean? And they're like,
that's what we need
best,
to have.
Best concert ever. You know, and they're like shaking her hand. This, oh my God, it's so great. And they're like, and there was a story of like, I waited, I sent you 4 years ago. I sent you two photos or two postcards, and you sent them back signed. And now I'm here 4 years later. I'm going to meet her. It's going to be the greatest moment of my life. I was like, man, there's actually to have that. I thought that'd be amazing. Not saying like I deserve that, but just like, you know, that's really
she
cool.
She has a
you
fan
know?
Connection.
Yeah.
Now it's, let me ask you this. When you were in the store, did they at least have one of those plastic signs that
said
Sierra Borealis?
I didn't even see a plastic sign.
Huh.
I didn't see,
I mean, I'm
I didn't
assuming
see one,
that
I
they would have that at the store. I'm assuming they totally would.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe she is so popular that somebody stole the sign.
Yeah, that could possibly be it, you know. that's usually always a possibility.
I mean, somebody's like, I'm a big fan.
Someone stole a Bon Jovi face off of the in the concert.
Wait, when was that? Who stole a Bon Jovi face?
You stole the Jump Bon Jovi
No,
face.
I bought that poster.
What's
that big poster?
The big, with just his face?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a stand-up.
No, I bought it.
It just has his face and he's
and
looking all
sneaky. Unfortunately, I had to get
sneaky.
Rid of it, though. But I'm kind of sad that I had to get rid of it, but I did have to get rid of it.
What do you mean by I had to get rid of it?
Well, it was all crinkly. Like, I took it down for a while, and then it got all crinkled to the point where it was like, why am I keeping this crinkly piece of paper? So I did... had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And you know how I am about throwing stuff away. So I kind of felt bad about it, but also at the same time, I'm like, I can't be looking at John Bon Jovi on the back of my like door anymore. You know, I have to move on. John Bon Jovi.
Yeah. So, I mean, like at the same time, it's like there's a different marketing scheme for what would you call her? Like singer songwriter or piano songwriter.
I mean, I don't
know. Like
I don't know if I don't. Does she write all her songs?
I assume so. Everything I saw,
she's like,
completely
and I
there.
I hate to lug her in with this because it does seem like she's a little more talented. But like,
I mean,
she still fits in that category of Vanessa Carlton and Michelle Branch, Norah Jones. What if she gets to like Norah Jones level? Then that's good for her.
Well, that's what I was researching. Is that was the comparison already? It was like she's more like Norah Jones. With even like the voice that's what really caught me is that she has like a great voice. You know what I mean? There's like that she has, you know, she's able to hit like the soul you know, she seems like she has soul in there. You know, that's always a great thing. I'm totally putting over Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, we have a whole podcast about Sarah Bareilles. But that's okay because last year I did a whole podcast about Justin Bieber.
Really?
So this is your version. Didn't we? Do you remember that? That was the first podcast we ever had that we stuck on the subject the whole time.
This is what I feel. This is what I feel.
100% Justin Bieber all the time.
I feel like the viewers are going to be like, are you just talking about Sarah Bareilles? What the fuck is Sarah Bareilles? Why are you thinking of talking about Sarah Bareilles?
See, and I still feel like she hasn't broken through, like, mainstream. Because here's another thing. This is just my observation. But they play her song a lot on the radio.
Have you heard the story behind that song?
No, but the thing is I don't think that, like, her name value is as high as the song.
Probably.
See, I feel like people know the song. You know, if you were like, I'm not gonna write you a love song. You know, then people are like, oh yeah, I've heard that on the radio.
But also, I feel like the build-up to that song is good.
If you ask, like, so do you know who sings it? Like, who sings this song?
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that, like, if you were to quiz people on it, I feel like her survey results wouldn't be too good.
If you were to be a musician at this stage, because when I was watching her touring videos, it was interesting because, you know, she has her band at the same time, but it's also like I feel like what a lot of times her performance, she has a piano, so it's facing to the side, and so she's facing to the side majority of the time. So you know what I mean? Like, so her side is always facing the audience. When she has performed, do you think that's a little bit weird for her? Like, if you were just to assume?
I don't know what it feels like for her, but, you know.
No, like, if you were in that position.
If I had to look to the side?
If you're playing piano, you can't be facing the audience with the piano.
But that's how, like, all, you know, anyone who's playing piano has to feel like that. Like, yeah, but Norah Jones or, like, Alicia Keys or Elton John.
I'm not saying that it's uncommon. I'm saying that, like, how do you think that feels? Because I feel like sometimes when I perform, I'd like to face forward to the audience, but now she has to sort of do like a turn.
Well, I guess she has to get used to it.
I'm not asking. I'm asking how you feel about it.
How do I feel about it?
No, how if you were in that situation, like, because, like, for me personally, as like a musician, like, that's the thing. It's like, I, you know, you're playing, you know what I mean? Not that I play piano, but I would always be like, oh, you're just looking at my side. How am I going to be? You know what I mean? You got to go do the back and forth.
So, like, when we're selling our comics at the Comic Cons, we'd basically be turned to the side, like, profile view.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe we can try selling like that.
No, I'm not saying we should try to do that.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying I don't know how she feels about it, though.
You
asked me how do you think she feels about that.
Well, I'm asking you I forget the question.
I mean, I guess you just have to get used to it. And you turn your head and, like, you know, you interact with the crowd anytime you can get a break away from the piano, I guess.
Yeah. Thought you would elaborate a little bit more on your feelings if you were there, but it's okay. I always thought, like, as like a piano player, like that would have been one of the things that I would be sort of frustrated with was I have to face sideways, you know, and turn my head towards the audience and stuff like that. Like, so I always like conjured up like, hey, what if there was like a new type of piano that you can like change up with the audience and stuff
or
like that?
Or maybe they can have a camera. On the face, and then you can see the face and the Titantron.
Like, even when you see like Elton John or when they play the piano and stuff like that, who else plays the piano? That's
Alicia Keys.
Billy
Joel.
This is one thing that I've been seeing with a lot of people who play piano, like on stage, is that like sometimes they do like the standing one. You know, like they have it like that's how it is, like a keyboard side and it stands on the side, so they're able to like stand up. That's when I saw like what was it? Even like I seen Alicia Keys do that. Like they play while standing. Even like the keyboardist in Bon Jovi like has it on two hands.
He has
split.
Like five keyboards around him. He's in a little nook.
But he's also like he's standing up so he can like dance with it. You know what I mean? A piano is sort of like a hard instrument to like, I guess like really like rock out hard without being like I'm playing piano here. Yeah. I guess unless you like really smack the hell out of it.
What about xylophones?
I mean, xylophone, you're always going to be, like, smacking the hell out of stuff. That's all that's
it's
all
like
that really
drumming,
is.
It's like drumming with piano.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way, but that's pretty cool, actually.
I always think that, so it's always been pretty cool. But, yeah, I wish there was more credible duets, not just, like, hip-hop duets. You know what I mean? When they sing separate parts, but actually parts where it can become, like, a performance. Even with, like, Jack White and Loretta Lynn, you know, I felt like they're at least like that's a duo.
Jack White's been doing a lot of duets.
That's he knows where it's at.
I mean, even like if you want to be technical, the White Stripes could be a duet.
I mean
they're a duo.
Well, it's a team. Like that's.
I'm just saying, like they have songs that are structured like duets. Like, and who else has he? What's that other one that he's on? Like that Rome CD.
Yeah.
What is that?
What's that?
Yeah.
That might be a duet when they sing together. Yeah. That's what I feel like. Two different entities.
He had Alicia Keys, too.
Yeah, that was a duet.
Wasn't that James Bond?
Yeah, see, that was a duet. That was definitely a duet. That was an awesome duet at the same time. Do you have any favorite duets from the past?
This is kind of like more personal, but I always did like the Dolly Parton and Vince Gill, I Will Always Love You.
How come? Did they perform that together?
Yeah. I mean, it's an original Dolly Parton song. But I like when they did it together as a duet.
Yeah, see, there's just certain things that are just more musically beautiful when it is a duet. There's more emotion that can get through.
And you know that song, I Will Always Love You, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, and Whitney Houston recorded it, but it's originally Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And Dolly Parton wrote it. But I just remember also, like, hearing Vince Gill afterwards was like, he's like, I had so much trouble singing that song anytime I sing with Dolly, because he's like, I basically just can't really look down. Because he's like referring to her boobs.
But is it so wrong? It's like it's a heat magnet. I mean,
but that's also like, how can you not look at Dolly Parton and like think of boobs?
I mean, that's how she's marketed. And that's her structure. Right?
I don't even like care if you're like, even if you're not into girls, or you know what I mean? Like even if you're not like a lesbian or something, like there's no way I could look at Dolly Parton and not like glance at her boobs.
I mean, this is a situation I had. This is something I had on a shoot.
And I'm not saying I'm like turned on like by her at all, but I'm just saying, like, how are you not supposed to look at them? They're so huge.
There are a lot of girls out there that I feel like are super offended by boobs, and I don't understand why.
That somebody has boobs?
Yeah, they're just like, even like the mention of boobs, like, oh, you're just looking at their boobs, you know? Like, there's really like a lot of girls, like a lot of times even like on shoots or something like that, when you refer to boobs or anything, like or even like there's some girls that's like, if you even mention boobs, they're like, oh, you're a pervert, you're just thinking about boobs. Why?
I mean,
why,
what do you think of when you think of Dolly Parton?
I mean, I think of boobs.
The first thing.
Or blonde hair. Really, the first thing, for some reason now, the first thing is like blonde hair. I don't know why. But yeah, boobs is like her Hulk Hogan mustache, you know? It's like Hulk Hogan has the mustache, Dolly Parton has the boobs, Stone Cold has the shaved head, John Cena has the hand mark, the hand
You
thing.
Can't see me.
Yeah. Like those are like the staples, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that you're right. That is part of her.
Like, that's part of the whole entire gimmick. It's like, well, if she loses that, then her sales will drop.
Her boobs will drop, her sale will drop.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think it's funny because also about a month or two ago, I remember we were driving in D.C. and this girl was like wearing this really low cut outfit. And like she had, you know, relatively big boobs. And like, I just was like, wow, look at her boobs. Like, they're just, like, so huge and, like, well-presented in your face.
Yeah,
like, it was just
well-presented,
like,
in your face.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's when happens.
And
that's
I wasn't even
boobs.
Looking for it, though. But they were pretty, like, you know, like, you could see major cleavage. Like, they were just popping out.
Like, this is what I feel about boobs. Yeah, there's probably a lot of girls who are probably disgusted with boobs. Maybe the situation is that they've seen a lot of boobs that have not been presented well. You know, they always seem when girls have big boobs that they just, like, flop around and they droop everywhere. And that's most likely because I feel like, one, maybe that girl who's having the droopy boobs didn't get the right bra size and didn't present it right. You
well,
know
there,
what I mean?
There have been
or
studies
didn't work
out, there.
Out or something like that.
There have been studies out there that said, I forget the percentage, but, like, a high percent, like something like 75% of women are wearing the wrong bra size.
Yeah.
Like they haven't been fitted.
And what's up with that? What is
I
up
mean,
with that?
I don't know.
Man?
Like,
why not wear the right bra size?
I mean,
what's up with that? Were they not taught right by their parents?
I with me, like, my mom never took me to get my bra fitted, and I just remember trying stuff on, and then I was like, I guess this fits. I didn't even know that you could get fitted until like probably 2 years ago.
You just
ago.
Like assumed, like, I guess it goes over my boobs, but
yeah.
Just doing it. It just cover it's covering
it just
my
covers
nipples.
Them.
It's covering
I'm
my
like,
nipples.
But I mean, obviously if it's really loose or really tight, you kind of know, you know, if you're like, oh, this is really tight,
yeah.
Or if it's like loose and it's not holding, you know, but then like it gets to the specifics of like, you really do have to measure yourself. It's like a part, it's not just like I'm going to put on my medium t-shirt. You know, it's like, it's not just like a covering. It's
yeah.
Like, you actually have to get fitted for it depending on like how far they are, how far they come out, and then your waist size and like the whole circumference or whatever. I don't know, but I'm just saying that I really do recommend it.
But they have specialists though. Those are the girls who are
getting fitted for a bra.
But those are the girls who are helping girls fit a bra, right? They know all about the circumference and the diameter, and they're like,
I mean, it's a science, people.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like...
I don't like when I do look around, when I do see boobs that are... I do notice a lot of boobs when they're not being taken care of. And you know what? That makes me sad. Because,
do you really think it's like 75% of women are wearing the wrong bra size?
Probably. And also, probably the other side is just like other people don't present their boobs properly. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what size the boobs are. You can make little boobs look amazing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can make good boobs look amazing.
Actually, little boobs, I think, are like in fashion now.
Boobs probably are in fashion because there's an influx of implants that was happening.
It was like so much implants and like fakeness going on that now, like we talked about in the previous shows, how like the natural and fit look seems to be in now. An athletic look.
I just like, you know.
Or like a fresh look that's natural type.
I like balance, and complementary shape is always good. Like with the big boobs or small boobs, you know, something that's more, you know, properly presented is always the best size. Because I've seen some like horrible ones. Just you see people walking down the street, and you're like, why don't you just wear a proper size bra? That's why you're all slumping over like that.
I think it's funny too how like girls, you know, they get this thing in their head that like guys will only like them if they have like huge boobs or something. Like,
well, Grace Kelly didn't have big boobs.
But the funny thing is like, if you really think about it, it's like, yeah, I guess there are like, I don't know, a certain percentage of males that are like more piggish that are like, I only want really big boobs and like a girl that looks like Pam Anderson.
And if they lose those, I'm dumping them.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, but those guys are probably jerks anyway. But really, like, most guys though probably really, like, don't care. They're just like, any boobs is great.
They just want the pussy in the face. Yeah. That's what they
But it's funny how when at least maybe even with me too, like growing up, like I'm not saying that every guy wants huge boobs, but you have this fascination in your head of like, this is what girls should look like. But then like when you think about it though, like guys have all types of tastes, you know?
Yeah, I guarantee girls have all types of tastes too.
Yeah.
What
do you think is like the girls, okay, from you having the male mind and you think about the female mind, what do you think the female mind wants in a man?
That they want in a man?
Yeah, like the average, because okay, from my view, look-wise? Like, you know, the typical, well, like my view is like,
look-wise?
Yeah, look or personality-wise, because the typical, like from my view, like I feel like the typical guy wants to have a girl that like looks like Pam Anderson or Carmen Electra.
Well, this is
but then if you think about it, it doesn't actually work out like that.
Well, I mean, the way it works,
who looks like that?
Well, the fantasy and the way it works out, you know, some people have to earn that. But at the same time, it's easy. There's an easy way to find out what society wants, and the best way to look at that, or what's perceived that the society wants, whether it becomes a girl or a guy, and the best easiest way to see that is look at the advertising.
Or look at who's on the magazine covers.
Exactly. And then so
go to Abercrombie. So do you think the average girl wants... The average girl wants Twilight.
Or, you know, like... But also the combination of that. They want that fit dude. Or they want that brooding guy. You know what I mean? But they don't want... Apparently, they don't want a fat slob. I guess that's just the way it is. But yeah, but look at who's being used to... look at the people and the shapes of people who are being used to... to what's it called? Not advertise, but to attract customers. You know what I mean? Those are the ones that people want. Those are the guys.
Basically, models.
Or those certain shapes. You know, that's how you can tell like what's in. And that's.
So what do you think the average? We're talking about very average girl is looking for in a guy.
Looking for in a guy?
Yeah.
Like just look wise. What do you think they're looking?
Anything.
At this point, like there's two different ways. I feel like you either have let me try to get this in terms of you either have the shows are missing in my head. It's either like you have what are the TV shows? You have either the Big Bang Theory.
TV shows?
Yeah, you either have the Big Bang Theory, right? You have those types of guys, or How I Met Your Mother. You know, those types of shapes. You know, that's...
I've never actually seen either of those two shows.
Well, those people who have know that there's, you know, they're not ugly, but they're not ugly, but I feel like they're also,
but they're
like
dorky or something.
Yeah, that's what the Big Bang Theory, you got those, you know, and of course the Michael Cera thing, I guess, is coming in that point, but there also is the Johnny Depp side, you know? And of course, there's always going to be, the default would be you want a guy in shape, like an athletic shape, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Facial-wise, I'm not sure. Because like that, I feel at the same time, it's like in this day and age, you can do a lot of shapes and sizes. Of course, I'm assuming people like a good smile, you know?
So basically,
I don't know what girls want. I'm not going to pretend.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs.
Yeah. But
Christina
you know.
Christina Aguilera.
Yes, that was Christina Aguilera.
Wasn't that also that movie with that girl that retired that came back?
What a Girl Wants?
Amanda Bynes? I never saw that movie, but...
Well, it's funny because, like, at the same time...
What does Amanda Bynes want
at the same time, you have, like, a lot of, you know, there's some guys and also girls that are, like, ultra nitpicky that they're never going to be happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And also, like, even, like, last week, they completely deconstructed Megan Fox. They're like, oh, look, she has a flaw. She has those weird thumbs.
She has, like, a clubbed thumb or something. The funny thing is, it's, like, such, like, Shallow Hal stuff.
But
like,
it's also...
in the movie Shallow Hal, his friend is, like, you know, I guess it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but there's, like, this really gorgeous girl, but then something's weird with, like, one of her toes, or she has an additional toe or something like that. Then he, like, disses her because he's like, oh, she has six toes or an ugly toe, and it's like, what? Like, really, you're going to look at that after, like, she's like, a fine-looking woman.
But I feel like this is what's going to happen. Is like, that's even probably even worse for a Megan Fox, because, like, of course she knows, but now when they broadcast it everywhere else, and like, oh, she has a flaw, those thumbs. Now she's like, fuck, now I can't, you know, unless
dude,
she's like, but she probably gives less of a damn at the same time.
She probably doesn't give a shit.
But also that's the same thing with Hayden Panettiere, where they're like, oh, her arms are too short, and stuff like that. Or with Rachel, her face is all, you know, like there's always something. Everyone looks weird. Even today, there's a conversation of like, oh, Olivia Wilde is hot, but she has that weird face hot. And I'm like, God, it's like, how can anyone win or
lose?
Like,
no one can be perfect.
There is no perfect, but there's only like personal preference.
Dude, if I was Megan Fox, though, I'm not saying I would have to think about this before I would actually act on it, but like, maybe it would be interesting if she made her own like YouTube video and like showed her thumb. Like, it's just her in front of a camera and she's just like, yeah, I heard that you guys were talking about my thumbs. So, like, here's my thumb. And, like, just show it, like, real up close in the camera and be like, get a good look at it. And be like, okay,
then she flicks off everybody.
Yeah, so, like, that's my thumb, you know, like, okay, and I still look hot, so goodbye. And then you just turn off the camera, you know.
That'd be
and
be awesome. She's like, okay, I still look hot, good night.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, she's like, get a good look at my effing thumb, and then, you know what I mean? And then just be like, well, F you, because I'm still hot. So, you know what I mean? It's like, and then upload that video, and then that, do you realize, though, if she was to do that? On the negative side, it gives her so much emphasis on thumb. Then for the next week, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, did you see that Megan Fox video that she made herself about her thumb?
Yeah.
You know, like, and then everyone's going to watch it. First of all, like, on one end, it's like, that gives her, like, less credibility as an actress a little bit. But if anything, it might give her a good performance, you know?
Yeah, but like, credibility as an actress? Come on now. Hollywood's not about that.
Exactly. But then on the
Hollywood's about bringing in
the money.
The teens, you know?
But you know what I mean? Like, as, like, a fine actress, like Academy Award winning type caliber, you know, like that type of thing.
And who exactly is that?
But then if she's just making YouTube videos, people can be like, oh, she's just making YouTube videos. What the hell? But then on the other hand, it's like, dude, if she does give a performance like that, it could be like her best performance ever. I'd be like, she's an awesome actress, you know?
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, it is showing emphasis on her thumb, you know? Once she says something like that, everyone could just get rid of it and be like, oh.
Like how people...
So she acknowledged it, and then she's basically like, F you, I'm still hot.
Like, they're letting it blow... She's letting it blow off.
Yeah,
basically.
And then she got... And since she showed it up close to, like, the video camera, you know, it's like basically like, get a good look at it. Okay, you see my club thumb. Okay, well, I don't care, so I'm still hot, and goodbye. You know, like, and see you later.
And goodbye.
You know, like... Part of me, if I, like, I'm putting my mindset in her mindset, I would love to see her do that, but then I wonder if it would backfire, you know? Like,
well, there's so many people.
I don't know. Who knows?
There's so many girls, I feel, that already dislike Megan Fox for some apparent reason.
Because she's hot.
That's probably going to make it even worse. The same thing with Anne Hathaway. You know,
that if she was to upload a video like that, like, girls would hate her more? But what if girls would like her more? They'd be like, hell yeah, she's really pretty, and like, you know, she is. But then it's like, well, she has a flaw, so like, well, kind of like her, and then she like did that video about it. That's cool. You know, like, that could be kind of appealing to
girls. Well, let me ask you this. How would you think girls react to that then? Will the normal girl, will they actually do that? Will they jump on the Megan Fox bandwagon?
Maybe not all of them, but I feel like she could gain fans. I feel like she would only gain fans and not lose any. Because first of all, like, I think there's very few women that are like, I'm a Megan Fox fan, you know, like, already.
I don't even know what girls are fans of.
I guess.
Ryan Gosling?
Jennifer Aniston.
They're fans of
Jennifer Aniston represents all the girls that's ever been dumped before.
Why?
Because she was dumped by Brad Pitt for Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, but how many times do you think Rachel...
But all of
not
her
Rachel,
all of her movies are like the breakup and this and that. You know, like those type of chick flicks.
I've like, ever since she got her haircut, like, you know, there's nothing really to me. There's nothing really appealing. I guess I'm a guy.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, she does have like a lot of male fans too. Like there are some guys that are hardcore Jennifer Aniston like fans, and they think she's the most gorgeous thing ever. Like, I've heard guys talk about that.
But I mean, like, I'm probably going to, you know, there's nothing extra yet on that.
That's fine, but I'm just saying, like, as a marketing tool,
she represents the women that have been dumped. It's clearly obvious. She is the rejected girl.
Yeah.
She's like the average rejected hot or medium. I don't know what to classify her in as.
She's the rejected girl.
But also at the same time, I feel like when I watch those movies where she gets dumped, I understand why they would dump her. I'm just like, of course, I was like, yeah, dump her ass. She's sort of like, you know.
And she's
know.
Making whatever, $20 million a picture.
Yeah.
So she's just
she's still making that friend's
like,
money.
She's just like, so see me without my Rachel haircut? I don't give a shit. So, and then she's like, so we're done here. And then she'll turn off the camera and like, upload it up on YouTube.
Angelina Jolie is like, well, I'm Angelina Jolie. Fuck off.
Yeah, and speaking of Angelina Jolie, they had, I didn't read the article, but at work, my like whatever homepage or whatever, I refresh my browser, it always shows the Yahoo News. And the big news of the day is women who out-earn men. And it had like Katy Perry and Angelina Jolie.
You're looking at me like I would know.
I'm just trying to think of the name because I just said. They had Angelina Jolie and someone else. But basically, like, I'm like, they're like making a big deal that Angelina Jolie makes more money than Brad Pitt. I'm like, this is on the cover of Yahoo.
Well, Brad Pitt also has a production company, too.
I'm sure he has lots of companies, but I'm just saying that, like, they're making a big deal about how Angelina Jolie makes more money than Brad Pitt.
For, like, women empowerment?
Probably so. That seems to be a big thing these days.
It seems to be a thing with everyone. It's
gotta
like,
ride
we need something to empower us. Who is this big person that's apparently suppressing everybody? We need to empower women. Well, we need to empower blacks, Hispanics. The minorities need to stick together. You know,
but with
it's like,
women,
it's,
though, like women outnumber men in the workforce now, which is like pretty monumental if you really think about it.
That's good. What do they do?
Working. People who work.
Are they on construction?
Workforce.
Are they in construction, too? And
I mean,
are
I, don't
they
cops, you, I don't know if you, I don't know if you break it down to
do
industry.
Do they just do administrative work?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Like, overall, it's an overall thing. I guess you could break it down to different industries.
Well,
I'm sure there's more male firemen.
Can they break it?
Saying,
can they break it down into positions in the company?
Probably. I don't know. I don't have the whole, like, Excel chart of the world. But basically, there are more women working than men in the world.
I mean, when it goes to a workplace, I probably want to see more women working than men in a way anyway.
If you think about it, though, it is kind of monumental.
I work
because,
with more women for some reason.
But it is kind of monumental because women are having children. So that means that also that children are, you know, probably in daycare more or something like that. You know, like if you, there's certain elements that are domino effect based on women working more.
I feel like at this situation, like they just released like the Catwoman pictures of like the Anne Hathaway as Catwoman, and already like that was like the last straw for me from finding out all this Dark Knight Rises news, because like as soon as they released it, everyone I saw like the fanboys showed the true light. They're like, oh, it sucks, I hate it. Oh, everything was perfect
everyone
until
made
this.
A big
they haven't
deal
fucking
about,
even
like,
seen the movie yet.
All I heard was everyone made a big deal about how her
no
outfit
ears?
Doesn't have ears on it.
Yeah, but this is like one scene that we have yet. I mean, how do we know?
Maybe she took off the ears for something.
Even if she doesn't have ears, I haven't seen the movie yet. You know what I mean? But see, this is the type of stuff where it's so crucial. But also, this is also, it's like sort of like, damn, dude, you're never going to be freaking happy, but you're still going to buy a ticket, aren't you?
But see, even like, even though you don't like Jennifer Aniston's look,
that's just personal preference.
It's personal preference, but
she's not cartoony cute enough for me.
But the thing is that you aren't, you know, you would never say she's ugly. But then at the same time, like, no one is ever going to be like perfect, you know? Like, people are trashing Megan Fox, people are trashing Catwoman,
but are they marketable?
Like,
yeah,
but it's like really, dude, you really gonna look at her thumb when you're looking at Megan Fox? If you're going out on a dinner date with Megan Fox, are you really gonna be looking at her thumb and
what's
be like,
she's so ugly?
What's amazing about Megan Fox is you go from face down as opposed to boobs up. That's always the sign of like a character, you know?
Yeah.
And that's always
like
great.
Like, if you're sitting face to face with her with a romantic candlelight dinner, are you really going to be looking at her film?
A lot of people were, just like in Jerry Seinfeld, where they have like the Jerry Seinfeld had that episode with the man hands and stuff like that. That's how people are. They ruin the image like that. They ruin people where they're like, oh, she has a scraggly hair on her eyebrow, I'm dumping her. That's how
so you can just easily pluck that hair and then you'll be good to go.
That's right. And that's where we're going to end the show, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in next week. Check us out at Philadelphia, at the Philadelphia Alternative Comic Con, right?
Yes, and Sunday.
I hope you guys enjoyed this show. Go out, choose your nice boobs, treat women nicely. Be critical, I guess.
And listen to Sarah Bareilles.
Yes, listen to Sarah Bareilles. All of the songs. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Stay positive, people. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios.